Welcome to CHOATE's Examining Patents podcast series, where we explore best practices, cautionary tales, and the latest news in patent protection.
Hello, and welcome to this CHOATE podcast addressing Track 1 examination. My name is Brian Reese, and I'm a partner in the patent group at CHOATE. My practice focuses on life sciences, patent prosecution, and counseling, as well as IP-related transactions, including licensing, collaboration agreements, and others. With me today is Mike Vetter, who is a principal in our patent group. Mike's practice also focuses on prosecution in the life sciences space. We're talking about Track 1 today, and the reason for that is getting a patent issued can take a long time, even years. Sometimes this is fine or even advantageous to certain applicants who may want to defray costs or the like. However, many applicants, for various reasons, want to move things along faster than that. And the USPTO actually has a few programs that provide for advancing prosecution. Mike, when talking about advancing prosecution, people often talk about prioritized examination versus accelerated examination. What are some differences between them?
Thanks, Brian, and hello, everyone. Accelerated and prioritized examination are not the same. Accelerated examination is when a petition to make special is granted by the USPTO and an application is examined out of turn for a specific set of circumstances, which are laid out in 37 CFR 1.102 B and C. Namely, an application can be accelerated based on its importance to some branch of the public service, an inventor's age or health, if the invention will materially enhance the quality of the environment, or if the application contributes to the development or conservation of energy resources, or even further, if it can contribute to countering terrorism. Prioritized examination, or Track 1, as it's colloquially known, is a relatively new process.
Got it. Track 1 comes with its own unique timeline. Once a Track 1 petition is approved, the USPTO will get the application to final disposition, which may actually be a final office action, in 12 months, as long as there is no applicant delay. One time, we were fortunate enough to get from filing our Track 1 petition to allowance in 9 months, so it really can accelerate things. But prioritized examination has a specific set of requirements in order for the application to be examined out of turn, right?
Right. The Track 1 program, in addition to filing a request for a Track 1 application, requires that the application has no more than 4 independent claims, no more than 30 total claims, and that all the fees, that's the basic filing fee, the search fee, the examination fee, and any application size and excess claims fees are paid. There is a fee for requesting prioritized examination and also a processing fee that must be paid before prioritized examination is approved. As of the fee schedule that went into effect on the 19th of January, the fee for a prioritized examination request is $4,515 for a standard entity, $1,806 for a small entity.
Yeah, and with so many fees due, it's a good idea, a good practice tip, and actually the USPTO recommends that explicit authorization is given to charge any missing fee to a deposit account. And that's because you don't want the Track 1 request to be rejected for a lack of payment of fees. It's a simple thing, but there are a lot of them, and it's possible to miss one. There actually isn't a box to provide the authorization on the USPTO's Track 1 request form, so we find it best to submit a separate transmittal that includes the authorization to charge electronically. The type of application that's eligible for the Track 1 program also has a few limitations. Specifically, the program allows for any original utility or plant non-provisional application that's filed under 35 USC 111A or after a request for continued examination.
That's right, Brian. And for clients that more frequently file an international application or a PCT and then enter the U.S. under U.S. 371, also known as a national phase entry of a PCT application, that prevents a bit of a challenge. 371 applications cannot be expedited under the Track 1 program. So if an applicant is using a PCT application as the basis for a U.S. filing, some form of continuing application would need to be filed to have a U.S. application that is eligible for the Track 1 program. There's two common ways of achieving Track 1 eligible U.S. filings based on a PCT application. The first, an applicant can file a U.S. application that is a continuation of the PCT application, commonly known as a bypass con. Second, an applicant can file a continuation of a 371 application.
Could an applicant also file a divisional of a 371, and the divisional would be eligible for Track 1?
Certainly. Divisionals and continuations of 371 applications would both be eligible for the Track 1 program. But waiting on the USPTO to issue a restriction requirement on a 371 application before filing a Track 1 application can often defeat the whole purpose of the Track 1 program, which is a speedy examination.
That's a good point. But the reason I bring up divisionals is filing continuations to be eligible for Track 1 examination can bring about some unexpected issues in a portfolio. In particular, without the benefits and protections of a divisional filing, the so-called safe harbor, applicants have seen provisional obviousness type double patenting rejections using the pending 371 as a reference. Obviousness type double patenting, or ODP, can be an issue on several levels when prosecuting a patent family. And one way to address this type of rejection is by filing a terminal disclaimer. However, filing a terminal disclaimer can come with its own set of issues. And so we would advise any applicant to always consider the ramifications of filing a terminal disclaimer to overcome this type of a rejection. And actually, this is a pretty active issue in the courts. And for those that are interested, please listen to one of our prior podcasts about the recent Allergan case. Mike, any final tips?
Yeah, just a few, Brian. Given that the USPTO is making a commitment to examine the prioritized application quickly, they expect the application to be in condition for examination and applicant to respond to actions quickly. So to preserve the Track 1 status, applicants need to not only respond to office actions in the shortened statutory period, but also to pre-examination notices in a timely fashion. Finally, it's worth keeping in mind the USPTO limits the number of Track 1 applications. Currently, that limit is 15,000. If you're thinking about filing a Track 1 application close to the end of the USPTO fiscal year, it's a good idea to look at the Track 1 data dashboard to get an idea if there is still space for your Track 1 application. The USPTO says once the limit is reached, the office will turn off the ability to file a request for prioritized examination in the USPTO patent electronic filing system.
Some great points to end on. Thanks, Mike, for a great conversation. And thanks to everyone for joining us. We hope this podcast has been helpful to you.
The information presented in this recording is for educational purposes only. It does not constitute legal advice for a specific situation. If you wish to obtain legal advice, you should retain an attorney and explain the facts of your particular situation.